Life is full of personal wins, whether it's cleaning your house, getting that dream car, or checking off your to-do list. Winning at life is a great feeling. And with the State Farm Personal Price Plan, you can keep winning when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling home and auto. So give yourself a round of applause. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast. This is Chris Hardwick. I'm here with Matt Myra.
Hey.
Mac Nerd, Jonah Ray.
Hello.
Nerd. Did I say it's the Nerdist Podcast? I'm so bad at this. You'd think I worked in radio for so long I remember how to identify things like me and the show, but I managed to bone that every time. I'm sitting here in Adam Carolla's house. Adam Carolla, how are you, sir?
Hello.
Man, I can't... I love stately Carolla Manor, by the way. Is there some Shakespeare head that flips up and opens a cave that goes down to your lab underneath the earth?
Only when Commissioner Gordon sends that signal up, and then it's time to move. And it's always the same. I see it up in the clouds, reflecting the clouds above Lake Hollywood, and then I run into the kitchen and I yell to the bat pole, and my wife says, "What?" And I yell to the bat pole, and then she says, "I'm not blowing you." And then I say, crime waits on no one, and then I run into a wall that I think's that's supposed to be where you push it and it spins around, but it doesn't go anywhere.
And then, wait, this happens every single time with your routine?
Every single time. Now, God, hand to God.
Now, check me if I'm wrong, but I thought recently you had to destroy the bat signal because you became an idea and you had to represent the ultimate villain of the city. So what happened with that?
I never did actually see the last Batman. I know. Oh, what crap. I like to do...
You left off of Mr. Freeze.
Let me tell you. Here's my... This is what I do. I watch the first few crappy versions of something, and then when a really good one comes out, I go, not this time.
I was burned
by Mr. Freeze. I was the only one who was actually burned by Mr. Freeze.
So that by that logic, you missed Police Academy Assignment Miami Beach, because by that point, you had gone through all the really... What?
Weekend at Bernie's 2. I missed Godfather's 3. Godfather 3. I missed all the... I missed Jaws 2.
Godfather sequel, he's dead, and the music brings him to life, and that's how they make everyone think that he's still alive. Or was it Weekend at Bernie's?
No, it was Back to the Future 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I usually confuse sequels.
Yeah, those Critters too.
Oh, those Critters too?
Critters.
Where they come from space.
Yeah, starring Marlon Brando.
Yeah.
Are you picking up the puppy in the background?
Yeah.
What's your dog's name?
Her name's Molly, and she's barking at the pole right now. She has her own bat signal.
She's trying to get down to the pole, but without the opposable thumb, she can't work the device.
She can't work the pole.
Peanut
butter was involved.
That is that.
Well, that's when she really springs to life, I gotta say.
Skippy! Yeah. That joke? Mm-hmm. That is that dog's personal Tartarus. That would be the lowest level of Hades in mythology. Not to get academic on you guys, but we are Adam's library so. And there are fancy red curtains.
Yeah, we're doing it here in the library of a stately Carolla Manor, which we just cleaned out some of the books. Although Whatever for Dummies, I mean, I told my wife, look, take out all the For Dummies books. Well, it's actually for idiots. There's a For Idiots, and then For Dummies, and then there's for, retards, and then there's for mongoloids. And it's like, at a certain point, people are going to start thinking pretty fucking dumb when all they see is for... Like, if you saw anything for dummies, just went, hey, house for dummies, car for dummies, girlfriend for dummies, eventually dentist for dummies. Like, eventually, you'd think the person was a dumbass, wouldn't you?
Well, I haven't seen that book, Skiing for That Retard Adam Carolla. But that's a whole new
series. Oh, really?
Yeah,
that's a whole new thing?
Different.
Yeah.
Mac OS.
Get those instead.
I like the Mac OS X for Mongoloids. I think it's very specific. I mean, like it's niche marketing.
Yeah, exactly.
These Mongoloids are going
to
buy these books.
I'm just saying, for dummies, like your self esteem would have to be pretty high to buy a book that said for dummies.
But that is woven into American culture. The culture of the idea of. I'm stupid, and I'm proud of being stupid.
Yeah.
And
I like the people that use the date. Like, sorry, I wasn't born. How am I supposed to know when Kennedy was assassinated? You know, like a lot of that. Sorry, old-timer. It's not only that, but not only do they not know shit, but they then flip it on you. They flip it on you. It's ageism. Like, they flip it on you, like, sorry, I'm young and sexy and nubile. Mm-hmm. And then the other part is like they have a life. Like, I don't just sit home and watch the History Channel. I'm out, you know, whooping it up. Kelly Osbourne once, she was on Loveline one time, and I was explaining that, just speaking of snot-nosed teens, you know.
By the way, I love any story that starts off with, Kelly Osbourne once said.
And then great Kelly Osbourne, and I quote. No, she said, I was talking on Loveline, and I said, you know, chicks don't know anything about war. They're just not interested in war. They don't know any of the history of it. They don't know any of the, you know, beach landings or invasions. They don't know about any of the island campaigns in World War II. They just don't know anything about it. Like, they're not interested. They're just not interested. And I feel like they should be a little more interested because it's so much a part of this country's history and really affects the way things sort of turn out. Historically,
well, if we have to know about, what's her name? Ruth the Riveter? What's her name?
Rosie.
Rosie the Riveter. See, that's never mind. That's the only thing.
Yeah, there's a diesel dyke who put together a couple B-17 wings with a riveter.
Oh, I opened for the diesel dykes.
So, she begged to differ. She was like, what do you mean? I'll try to do her fake.
Yeah.
Accent.
Ladies and gentlemen, presenting Adam Carolla as Kelly Osbourne.
Women know a lot about...
All right, I'm going to stop you right there. Listen, Adam, Whoa. That's a good read. I think you're doing a little bit more of a northern English accent, okay. And I want to get you more central, like London.
I'll go up an
octave.
Go up women know a lot about war.
Perfect. Perfect.
What are you saying women don't know? My father and I watched a History Channel. My father was there during the thing where they dropped the bomb, the Blitz. Yes, he was there for that thing, and he survived that. Oh, really? I like when someone says survived. Like, right. Yeah, I've seen your dad on stage. I'm sure he made it through the Blitz in 43.
Then what'd he do?
My grandfather survived the camps. Oh, really? The 91-year-old gent complaining that this bagel's too dry didn't perish in 1941? Interesting. So he made it.
Your grandfather lucked out.
Yeah, he lucked out.
There wasn't some sort of rip in space-time and he fell through to now?
Yeah. So she's like, so you can't say, no, sorry, you can't say women know nothing of war. And she was probably 16 at the time,
right.
But she claimed to watch hundreds of hours with her dad, who was obsessed with, you know, World War II. So I said, all right, well, let's just start with some basic stuff and let's see how much you know. I'm not a historian. I just watch a little basic cable. So I said, the Allied and the Axis powers. Who were they? Who was fighting who? And she was like, I swear to God. She's like, United States was fighting Germany. And I was like, and then who was on Germany's side? She's like, you know, these are trick questions. And I was like, are you shitting me, bitch? Are you fucking shitting me? You don't even know V2. And she's like, that's you know what? Because those are just your own questions that you're cooking. I said, no, that is 2 + 2. You just said you were a trigonometry expert. And I just asked you what 2 + 2
was. Trick question.
And you couldn't answer it. So don't tell me you know. And she, but she... like every good snot-nosed entitled teen, she was like, I do so. I know plenty. And I was like, no, you don't know shit. And she was like, yes, I do. And I was like, you can't know anything. You can't know that the landing ships were called the Higgins craft because you don't know the people that were on them or firing at them.
Which is fine for a 16-year-old girl, but to first tout that she had the knowledge from sitting
that's
on
my
her
point.
Ass, yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
Two bigger issues here. Number one, when is your one-man show Adam Carolla argues with Brits going on? And secondly, I love the idea that, you know, a love line, you argue with Kelly Osbourne about war, and then you take a call about some kid who has ass herpes. Like, that's what's so great. That's what's so great about that story is that it's love line.
Drew just kept going... I'll do him in an English accent. He was like, leave her alone. And I was like,
the court of Elizabeth.
I said, no, I'm not going to leave her alone. And she just kept firing me. I said, look, I'll leave her alone when she just admits that I was right with my assertion that women don't, I'm not calling them dumb.
Right.
They just don't, it's like a sport they don't follow.
I mean, it's like guys don't know about cooking and and feeding babies with their
every
tits.
Time I see feminine hygiene products, I fucking freak out.
Yeah, man. I don't even know what they're about.
I call them feminine hide jeans because I get my jeans and I hide.
Yeah, okay, right out of there.
Jeans make me feel safe. Denim makes
I wear two pair of denim. Watch one of the Massengale commercials. I don't know what some of this evening they're talking about, but I'm glad I'm going to be hiding in my jeans.
Boy, I'll tell you what, if a vagina could just make a nice brat, a woman would be perfect. Right? You know, perfect.
Tell you can hold one. Tell you that. Tell you can hold one. I like when they say it twice.
Yes, I heard you the first time. I just want to puncture. Yeah. I want to repeat the phrase and make that the punctuation.
You know what
it's
really saying? It's really saying, I come up with one zinger every 4 years, so I'm going to repeat it.
Yeah. I'm going to repeat it.
It's the same kind of comics that they kill time before, but it's like, I went to these strip clubs. You been to these strip clubs? It's like, okay, one is enough. I was at the grocery store. You guys been to these food places, grocery stores?
I was just outside enjoying the Earth's oxygen-rich atmosphere, dominant nitrogen. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about?
Just taking a breath.
Yeah, taking a...
You guys seen these... dogs.
You know, they're... Thank you. Good night. Oh, I'm getting the lights.
What's that
is this one Comics Unleashed?
Yeah. This is Comics. What's that one Bill Burr joke?
We're like, still kicking it here on the Byron Allen Show. Chris, I heard you've been to the mall lately.
Yeah, Byron, it's crazy. It's like, what is it, like a muffin store? Who needs a muffin store, Byron? What am I, some kind of muffin faggot?
I opened for the muffin faggots.
You drove out here all the way from Indiana in a convertible? How'd that go?
I bring that up.
Here's what I did.
How did you know? Well, you must be psychic.
I used to do that show, but with no material. Here's how bad the comedians were on that show. I would do that show, but I don't have an act. I was the only guy who was like the Comics Unleashed, but I was the only guy who just was I was from radio, and I would just sit there, and I never really realized with the Dat Win played middle linebacker for a Dallas Cowboys. That's how butch I am.
Wow. Let's punch each other in the dick.
So, like, all these guys came in, and there would Byron would do the setup. You broke up with your girlfriend.
I'm sorry. I would like to hear Byron as a British gentleman.
So, you and your bird broke up.
Well, yes, Byron, we did. And
you
here's that story.
And so everyone would do it, and then I would jump in and do their act for them or with them. I mean, I wouldn't know what their material was, but at a certain point after Dat was rolling on, you know, the airport security problem, I would start rolling on the airport security problem too. And at a certain point, I realized my material was better than a lot of their material was, even though I wasn't my material. I was just piggybacking onto the back of theirs. And that's when I thought, man, these comedians are horrible on this show.
I'd say a lot of those comics are pretty leashed. I wouldn't say unleashed.
No, it's the opposite of unleashed because they just set it all up, figure it all out, lay it all out, and then they just ask everyone to do their act.
The whole time you were on that, you should have just gotten like in the middle of their, you know, jokes, just like, whoa, wait. Are you doing your material? Oh, man, I'm totally unprepared. Because you sounded so fake, you fucking asshole.
I thought this was just like a talk format.
Yeah, I thought this was interesting television.
You went right in your act. Yeah, I mean, you just, there's no way you just did that rap. I mean, everything rhymed. You didn't miss a beat. It sounds like you've been doing it at clubs all over the country.
I was never asked to do that show. I guess I'm just not that unleashed of a comic, so I never got to do it. No, you're fine.
I'm just roaming around.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I'm free range.
Byron Allen is a millionaire.
He's like a billionaire.
Billionaire genius who he does, like, it'd be like if I started a construction firm called Subcontractors Unleashed. Mm-hmm. And I was like, here's the deal. You guys bring the materials, bring your crew, bring your van, build me an apartment building. I won't compensate you, and then I'm going to sell it. No, I'll syndicate it, all right? It's awesome, right? You'll get all the experience to be able to pull coaxial cable and tilt up walls and form a foundation. It's going to be great experience, great exposure for you. I mean, people are going to see you up on the top building when you're doing the roofing. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, that sounds great. All right, let me consult my Business Deals for Dummies books.
I'm going to open with an 18-second monologue, and then I'm going to sit down, and you guys can all do your act, and then I'll get a paycheck and go home.
But VCRs are crazy, right?
when people look at that building, though, they're going to be like, oh, that building's so hacky.
Well,
what a contrived building.
I ran. Here's how rich he is. I went to the Beverly Hills Hotel to have a meeting about when I got so skull fucked. I was like, when my radio show was ending, they did this thing where they were like, okay, we're pulling the plug on KLSX and we're switching formats to Lady Gaga and we're blowing up the whole station and everyone's going, but you we like, and you we want to move to the biggest radio market in the world, and that's New York City. So while everyone else is getting shit canned, you're actually getting a promotion. And so we had to have this secret clandestine meeting over in the Beverly Hills Hotel. By the way, then 3 weeks later, they were like, oh, yeah, we're going to shit can you too. Forget about that meeting.
Well, the New York thing was just to soften the blow.
Yeah, it is nice. They're like, oh, I'm getting But while we were sitting...
You're getting a reverse promotion.
Right. While we were sitting in that meeting, Byron Allen was sitting there with his... with an art dealer, and like somebody said, oh, he's got millions just in art alone, just in fine art. And he had been, Byron Allen was on Those Unfunny Black People in like 1978 or what? I'm not sure what that show was called.
I think it was called Those Unfunny Black People. I mean, back when it was okay to get away with it.
Yeah. Oh, guys, yeah. I think it had a way worse name than that.
No, it was America's Funniest People, or That's Incredible.
It wasn't real people. Was it real people?
It was like real people. Like,
oh yeah.
Byron Allen was 16 and a half or 17 when he was on that show. Like, when I was a kid, I'd watch a show and I didn't realize he was literally 17. He was like doing stand up when he was like writing, with Letterman and stuff. Like, he just got in, was like 15 or 16, and hasn't stopped making money since.
Yeah. He's like the machine under the island on Lost that just controls everything. Yeah. That no one really realizes that he's the linchpin to everything.
Oh, that's the best part.
He literally. Like, he always has a show on the air, and it's always a show that you usually don't know about, but he's managed to find these kind of little crevices in the entertainment business to just sit there and rain gutter millions of dollars.
What's his other show is going to press junkets, right?
It was just press junkets.
That's all he does.
Which anyone can do.
Press junkets.
No, but I have this sort of reverse racism theory, which is, as I've done it myself, or been guilty of doing it a few times myself, which is like, if there's a white reporter, you can blow him off. If there's a black reporter, you don't want him to think you're racist, so you can't blow him off. And so he would just sit down with Tom Cruise and George Clooney, and like every single one of those was always just A-list celebrities. And I have this theory that I always try to explain to my black friends, although, you know, I don't have any. But I mean, if I had
so
black friends.
So you're just
friends,
basically shouting at people at the supermarket who are of.
Well, when I say black friends.
Just yelling at the TV when Cosby's on.
I mean, like, when you know, President says, my fellow Americans. They're not really talking about any of you, but, you know, the people that are listening.
Yeah, like, when you're like when you're in a social situation, like in a subway, and you're like, yeah, we're all friends here, right?
Right.
We're not really friends.
It just means we're not going to murder each other.
Right.
I guess David Alan Greer, but he left in New York, so not, you know, maybe I have one on the East Coast, but. What I'm going to say is like, for every guy out there that's, like, chewing tobacco and driving a pickup truck with a gun rack on it, there's a whole bunch of white dudes who live out here who are overcompensating so you don't think we're that guy.
Right.
So, which is to say, if a guy comes up to me and he's panhandling and he's white, I'm like, listen, I'm not going to fuel your drug habit. And if it's a black dude, it's like, here's $5. Sorry, brother. Like, sorry
like
for what my
grandparents
did. Like,
the gun rack on my truck
did.
Has a Malcolm X flag on it. So.
Every,
they
every
say
time,
Malcolm X.
Malcolm X.
Yeah, Malcolm X.
That's my new chocolate milk line. Yeah, right. Malcolm X.
Malcolm X.
I'm
going to
get shot in the street now.
Move over, Yoo-hoo. Malcolm X.
Deliciousness by any means necessary.
You don't have to say chocolate milk when it's called Malcolm X. People know.
You want some Malcolm X?
I just accidentally created a million-dollar empire.
You didn't drink Malcolm X. Malcolm drank you.
That's right.
You know that Malcolm X has more calcium and more vitamin E in it than Gatorade and vitamin water combined? Malcolm X is a healthy part of it. I reach for a Malcolm X. After a long day of dragging people that are different than me behind my pickup truck, I reach for a Malcolm X.
For a guilt-free Malcolm X. It's in you, bitch. Such a stupid idea.
I think Malcolm X would work.
You think so?
I think it's got to be better than my gay sports drink.
What's your gay sports drink?
Well, I've started with the Gatorade, and then I realized the AIDS probably wasn't a bad, you know,
that was
a good thing.
As
but I mean, no, I just mean like in a world where they make shoes. Special shoes for shooting pool.
Right.
And you want to shoot pool? You serious about your game? You need these shoes.
Oh, great.
You know? Like, literally, when I used to fly model airplanes, they made special sunglasses for guys who flew model. And it's like, the guys are flying the F-18s. Those aren't good enough for me to fly my little Cessna in a circle with. So they, the whole idea that they can sell women's and men's indoor volleyball shoes.
Right.
And basketball shoes, which are played on the exact same court.
Right.
And it's really just lateral movement, jumping. Like, whatever Michael Jordan is doing in his shoes, you don't. That's not going to work for you with your little ball in your net.
I tried playing shuffleboard once with basketball shoes. I fucking broke my legs.
Are you all right?
No, I am now.
Be careful.
No, I'm good now.
Well, you got to make sure you support
you
your shuffleboard
had
bridge.
Shuffleboard, my new Shuffle X shoes.
Shuffle X.
But
were you trying to fuck some
I had a, I had a gay sports drink idea. You know, kind of like FUBU.
Right.
You know, but for gays.
Yep.
And, you know, it was like, you guys, you know, let's put it this way. You gotta watch your calories. You know, Gatorade's got a lot of, you know, corn syrup and whatnot in it. So it's like maybe a little lower on sugar. Maybe you guys are putting out a lot of, I don't know, potassium or a lot of fluids coming out of you. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever the gay man, you guys are sweating a lot. You're putting out a lot of chi, you know. I mean, it's all bullshit, but this is for you. You know, like they have vitamins for kids and, you know, shoes for indoor volleyball players. Why not a drink for the gay? A sports. Besides, you guys are at the gym 24/7. Like, how about a sports drink for you?
I think they do have it. Sprite Zero.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
is Sprite Zero?
Sprite Zero for gays?
I didn't know that was for gays.
Did you actually come up with a product? Or do you just think that should exist?
I haven't started mixing it yet. That's what you're asking.
You're not down in the lab? You haven't started mixing your gay
Well, the poll's kind of fucked up, so I can't get down there.
God damn it. I know. The dog was barking at it.
Poll's holding me up.
So, yeah.
But a gay sports drink, I do think would work.
That's not bad.
And it's like you give 10% of the proceeds to, you know, AIDS or hepatitis C or whatever they're into these days. And
whatever the kids are into.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's really a hobby.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd consider communicable diseases a hobby. So Milk-a-M X, chocolate milk for white guilt, I think is phenomenal. Black people drink it. And then gay sports drink.
$0.10 from each of Each can of Milk'em or bottle of Milk'em X goes toward reparations.
Right.
Adam, ooh, you should really decide now if it's going to be a can or a bottle.
Yeah, bottle. Okay. Bottle, yeah. Sorry,
I think it
bottle.
Has to be a bottle.
Needs to be a bottle. Yeah.
In the shape.
We got to compete with Yoo-Hoo.
Yeah.
By the way, what kind of name is that? Yoo-Hoo. That sounds like a gay sports drink. Yoo-Hoo. Yeah, hello.
I guess if you read it that way, yeah. That's what it is. Hello. That's what it is.
That's the name of my gay sports drink? Hello.
Hello. Sports drink.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, good. So we got a lot of work to do to get this niche racist homophobic beverage empire sure. Rolling.
Why not? And you probably would just sell more to racists, you know, and more to gay bashers. But either way, it'd be like, who cares? Look, if half the eggs you sell are just being thrown at the principal's house, you're still moving the eggs.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Am I right?
That's right.
Okay. All right.
Let's do it.
We'll have to ask if they're right. Am I right?
Cut two, 3 years right. Down the road, we're all penniless, but warming ourselves over a fucking barrel fire in it.
Cut to 3 years down the road, you're on Comics Unleashed. Chris, I heard you got some milk recently.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Byron, Milk'em X is a drink for...
it's good stuff. Hold on, I gotta buy Picasso. Your art dealer.
So what are you doing? What are you've started a podcast network? Basically.
What's a podcast?
I'll tell you in a sec. It's sort of like
for gays and blacks.
It's a radio show for gays and blacks. That's a podcast. So last year, it's been exactly a year since you started your podcast, and it's such a great story because I mean you and I worked at K-Rock together in like '95,
right?
And Kimmel, we all kind of worked there at the same time. And then everyone kind of went off in their own directions, and you ended up doing this big syndicated radio show, which, as tends to happen in radio a lot, yanks the plug, change the format.
Sure.
And so you said, hey, I'm going to toy around with a podcast for a while. And then fucking million downloads the first week you start the podcast.
Ooh. Well, yeah. I had a head start of, like, knowing I was on the way out and not going to New York. So I had probably a couple weeks worth of sort of head start. You know, normally when they shit can you from radio, they don't tell you, they just do it and they wait till your shift is done because there's so many fucked up drug addicts, like vindictive drug addicts who would just go like, here's what, you know, like if you told most morning guys, you have one more day left. Like, Friday's your last day. This is what Friday show.
Hey, here's
like,
what's going on this weekend. Piles of dick snot.
Fuck. And then once in a while, they'd call their program director douchebag. They'd barricade the door.
Which is a shame, because I would finally start listening to Morning
Radio. Yeah, I would definitely listen to that station. So they were nice enough just to tell me, you know, you had a couple weeks off. And actually, now that I think about it, it's weird because I was thinking we must have mentioned it a few weeks before we went off the air, but I realized we only had 2 days to give people a heads up because we only mentioned the show or the station was being flipped on the Thursday before the Friday we went off the air. So we said on Thursday, tomorrow will be our last show. So what I did is I got in a few, we're going to start a podcast to my audience, but I didn't hit it too hard because I didn't really know what a podcast was. And right. I wasn't like, I didn't know, you know, I wasn't.
Well, we've determined it's radio for gays and blacks.
Right. So I didn't know what to do.
Incorrect
so I shoved in a couple, like just on like Thursday and Friday. I said, like, look, you know, if you still want to hear the show, you can go to adamcarolla.com and we're going to do something called a podcast. And that was about it. But we did at least start with an audience. You know, we had a little bit of a place to jump off from, which, because there's a lot of people that are like, I want to start a podcast. And you go, start a podcast. But then how do you get a following without a following? Like, how do you get that traction?
I was actually going to ask you about that. It's interesting to bring that up.
So. Yeah, well, I mean, for me, I do everyone, I think it's a pretty tight-knit community, and I think they share a lot of the same, you know, I just think, I don't think there's a guy who goes to the internet and goes, I like this one podcast, and I listen to no other podcasts. Right. I think it's sort of like, if you're buying music from iTunes, you're not just buying Frankie Avalon songs.
Right.
Like you're buying every song or anything you're remotely interested in.
People don't
in.
Have that kind of single destination mindset that they had 20 years ago, and that's really... That's what larger corporations are not understanding, like the music business and companies that limit where you can see programming online, because they're like, we want everyone to come to this one site, and it's like, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way anymore. People, it has to be communal, and like, you're doing my podcast, I've done yours, you know, like we've said before, that would never happen in radio. You never would have gone on Mark and Brian when you were doing the Kevin and Bean show.
Right, and you know, not only that, but you know, for me, it's just like, anyone's radio show, I'm doing a Tim Conway Jr. show later on this evening. You know, interviews anywhere, anyone will take it. Anyone's radio show, anyone's podcast, just anytime you can get your voice out there and throw it to AdamCarolla.com. You know, I don't know, maybe there's three people get added on. And
cut out that Adam Carolla.
Well, now five people are going to. Now five are jumping on. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's great to have a platform, but even if you don't, you just have to get out there. Which leads me to this question: how many podcasts do you think there are? Do we have to ask Mr. Owl? Like, how do we figure that one out? Does anyone know?
I don't know. Actually, the most recent article I read about podcasts was just, you know, like, oh, in 2006, there were X million people listening to podcasts, and then in 2009, there were a higher number of, you know, there were Y, right. And that was higher, and so podcasting is the wave of the future. But I sort of feel like, you know, ultimately, because Drew Carey was on the last show, and we said, there's an old-timey phone in here.
Oh, my God. Wow.
I'm glad our fucking, the technical producer of the show
finally
didn't remember to turn
it
on.
It finally works.
But I will say,
I didn't think it would
I would
off.
Like to credit AT&T that you got a signal up here.
Wow.
Because that's
remarkable.
That's
pretty good.
Up here into the side
that's
of a mountain.
Probably
like
them just bragging they got a signal.
Hey, this is John AT&T. That's my last name. Just want to let you know you got a signal.
Oh, thanks, John.
Yeah, no problem. We're pretty badass, right?
All
right,
anything else?
Go fuck yourself. We're AT&T. We're going to take your money back quick. And then dial tone, which you'd never hear on a cell phone.
Well, you know, my money making invention, and I'll let you get to your story, was a lot of folk. You can't get any reception up in the hills, up in the Hollywood Hills, and it dawned on me while I was staring at Kimmel's fake Christmas tree about 3 years ago, which he explained looked as good as a real Christmas tree, but. This is a slippery slope because we can make tits and women and vaginas and pets, and we can make everything now that looks as good, if not better, than the real thing. I still would say we can make food that looks better than the real thing. It doesn't mean we should be eating it. I like the idea of the thing that you put water in and it smells like pine and it dies. I'm talking about the women.
Right.
No, I like the hassle fake, and the dragging dead, it and yeah, buying it at the church and throwing it on the roof of the car.
And the needles everywhere for months afterwards.
Right. But I said, you know, if everybody up in these hills who had a fake Christmas tree, and there's a lot of you out there, would leave them up year-round and just heat them up and make antennas out of them, we could get some reception up here.
Not a bad idea.
And you'd get paid essentially to leave up your Christmas tree, and we'd have some cell phone reception
and
up in the hills.
Everyone gets tumors for Christmas.
Yeah,
which is great.
That's right. Finally. That's a stocking stuffer.
Yeah, that's a fantastic.
I want eight tiny ones for Hanukkah.
Oh, that's eight tiny.
You don't get
tumors.
Any.
Oh.
So your
tumors are Christians.
I cut you off. You were talking about the computer.
Oh, podcast. I was pontificating about something to hear myself.
Well, just how many podcasts are there really?
I don't know. I don't
as
know
many
how,
as there are blogs.
I don't know how many there are, but basically, right. So Drew Carey was on the last episode, and I was saying I'm jealous because there's nothing that exists anymore in place like his Carson appearance, where you do one thing and then that just changes your career forever. You know,
right. Sure.
The business and media is so splintered that there just isn't anything that you can do one thing and be like, well, my career is made now. Like, you know, maybe American Idol or something, but that's a very specific.
Well, no, here's what you could do. You could beat the crap out of your girlfriend or get a DUI, and that actually would be the thing that got you on.
Slow down.
And then out of girlfriend. Yeah,
and,
but the trick
and
is
DUI or
no. Got, I mean, we are. Oh, definitely
both.
I mean, you can do both.
I can do both.
No, that'd be awesome.
What if I do them at the same time, Adam?
Go upside her head with a bottom of Milk-O-Max.
Yep.
No, and seriously.
Milk-A-Mex, the drink of domestic abuse.
I never really thought about that. We'll get Chris Brown to do the endorsement for the thing.
Oh, wow.
No, but seriously, think about the Chris Brown.
Or I'll hit you.
Think about that situation. And it just dawned on me that, yes, I was sorely disappointed after doing the Tonight Show for the first time that, like, my phone didn't ring the next day and nobody stopped me on the street.
Yeah.
And it's like I wasn't walking down the street, no one honked their horn and gave me a thumbs up or anything. And even when I would do Leno in prime time and, you know, make fun of his ratings all you want, they still had more eyeballs on it than he did in the middle of the, you know, at 11:30. Still, nary a word. Now, maybe it's the group I hang out with, but still, Janine Garofalo and Sarah Silverman said almost nothing.
That's weird.
It's just like, it's a totally different time. I mean, you see, I love watching these, like, E! True Hollywood Stories or something. It's like, now the E! True Hollywood Story of Ray Combs, host of Family Feud. And it's like, he's up there and he's like, they're like, and then they're interviewing his brother because he hung himself. It's like, and then he had his Tonight Show appearance, and when Johnny signaled for him to come back to the sofa, the next day the world parted just like the Red Sea. Yeah, like,
right.
Everything,
exactly,
phone stopped ringing. That's
exactly what you're saying.
The agent was calling stuff. I've done the Tonight Show 9 times.
When Leno calls you over, you're like, hey, yeah, I'm good. I'm going to just head out. I'm going to go back to the curtain.
Not worth the walk.
Appreciate that.
Done it 9 times. Fucking phone has rang once.
Yeah.
And nothing. I mean, it got so much as a local Levitt's commercial spot. Our Lee's bar stools and dinettes. Or
congratulations,
like,
about that.
Like, mind. Nothing. I've gotten nothing out of it. It's a totally, totally different world. And as a matter of fact, more people have said, a lot of comedians have said to me, I've gotten more out of your podcast than I've got from doing other people's national shows.
Not to cut you off, but you just said a different world, and that just made me think. Kadeem Hardison, perfect model for Milk-A-Mex.
Yes, he's
I'm sorry, still, I went off on a tangent there. I went off on a tangent. I apologize.
No, he's a man of color. He's all the kids love him.
I'm sure he's in our listenership.
He's right in the middle of our demo.
But the circuitous route to the point is, from a little while ago, is, yes, podcasting is great, especially if you're a comic and you have a point of view. Because ultimately, the trick now is connecting with your audiences in the best way that you can. And it seems like, you know, first of all, they're fun to do, and it just seems like a great way to
connect with people. You know what's actually kind of funny? It's like, I've had more people, since we started this podcast, which is, we've had two out now, like, more people have, like, mentioned the podcast to me than they've ever mentioned our show, Web Soup.
Oh, really?
Which is, yeah, it's where more of my friends, I guess it's just the circles, like you said, you don't really, but more people I know are like, hey, the podcast is great.
And that's nice.
I'm like, what about the thing I spent every day on, you know?
I'm sorry, what is that?
No, the thing I spend, like, a lot of my time and my creative energy.
What do you mean?
The things I make out of my brain instead of just rambling.
Well, that's you make a thing?
I was in an edit bay until, like, 2 in the morning.
Your mouth's moving, but it's coming out.
You work on a show?
Your show.
What are you talking about?
It's a show you host.
I don't think I do.
What channel is it on? For a sports drink for black people. Were you talking? What's this dude talking about?
Martin Luther King's of comedy.
Nice.
So, yeah, I mean, who knows what the future holds. But, you know, each time, I mean, it's really just a math thing. Like, everybody, you know, every day, 10,000 Americans who will never use a computer die. And, you know, several hundred thousand or million get a day older and a little closer to being an audience member. I mean, it is one of these things where it's like, I mean, whether you're selling bottled water or doing a podcast, like, if you're selling, it's like this almost this turnover thing. Like, I would love to see the percentage of people 75 plus that spent $2 on a bottle of water at a movie theater or $3 on a bottle of water at a sporting event or what have you. I mean, I'm sure some of them have been indoctrinated, but most of them have been like, F that. I've been drinking out of a well my whole life.
All right, sports drink for the elderly called Who Put All This Poop in My Underwear? What do you think?
That's good.
How about that?
Yeah, right.
So they can order a water and tell everyone what's going on with them at the same time.
At the same time, they get to complain and consume.
But every kid, like, when my daughter wants me to top off her sippy cup and I start heading for the sink, she's like, Hey, old man. No, no. I don't do tap. That's got to come from a mountain spring somewhere.
Spits in your
face. It's not costing you enough money coming from the sink, so it needs to come from a bottle. So there's no doubt that as the next generation, you know, one generation dies off and the next replaces it, everyone's going to be drinking bottled water and going to their computer to get their entertainment. So wherever it is now, it's sort of like percentage of people that used a cell phone 10 years ago or percentage of people that had a DVR 10 years ago or who even had satellite or even cable. Like, you remember hearing those stats? Like, you guys, we'd have cable for a little while, but you hear those stats in like 2001, it's like 37% of Americans have cable. And you'd be like, whoa, what? What are the rest of the, what are the rest of those folks doing? Yeah, are they high? What year is like, what's going on? But I'm sure now it's into the mid-60s or 70-something percent.
Well, it has I mean, you know, well, especially with the conversion to HD.
Sure, right.
A lot that of confused me that was such a big deal. I was like, who are these fucking people kidding? Just fucking get cable. It's just, right. You know. It's long enough. You've waited long enough.
I like cut to 50 years ago. What do you mean I have to get a picture box? I'm fine with my radio troller.
Right.
Turning it.
I think that's just a hand crank. I don't even think that does anything.
I don't even know why I did this noise thing and that people would think hand crank.
I like
it's not a video podcast, Jonah. People can't see you doing the hand crank.
They had to bump it back. I was thinking of the hand crank thing, by the way, because that's always my roll down the window. Hey, right. Roll down the window, except for no cars had cranks for 19 years now, and our kids are going to be going, what the fuck are you doing, Grandpa, with your hand?
Pushing a pushing the air like a button is bad space work.
Yeah.
You need the crank.
Hey, I need to talk to you about your driving.
What do you mean?
Push the button.
You want me to turn up the phonograph? I don't understand.
Yeah, what are you doing? Running a raffle over there? What are you doing? A bingo parlay? Like, what are you doing, old man? You want to give me a weird hand job?
That's why I always love that. I always love that.
The weirdest hand job.
You're like, when you cock that big, sound a propeller.
When you hear commercials for wacky comedies, and then like right before they hit the joke, they'll do a record scratch.
What's everyone doing at the thing?
Party time or whatever.
My least favorite along the lines of that is the dog reaction in a trailer where it's like, you're getting married. My least favorite.
I always thought if they want to go with the theme of doing outmoded forms of entertainment, then I would love to hear like a Swiss Alpenhorn in those. Hey, what's everybody doing?
Blowing a conch shell.
It's party time.
The my favorite thing with all bad comedies, especially the big budget variety, is when you see the commercial. Not so true for the trailer, but for the 30-second commercial, do a countdown to head trauma. Somebody is going to get hit with a crescent wrench in the forehead. Yeah. Somebody's going to be doing like when Will Smith was Fletch or Skip or Hitch. Yeah, he's going to get on his jet ski and he's going to kick Rosario Dawson in the face. Like, just everyone at home, the next big budget Sandler or Rob Schneider or whatever Kevin James.
I don't think there will be another big budget Rob Schneider.
All right, whenever the next Kevin James, whenever that thing, you watch that commercial, when it comes on, just go 1-1000, 2-1000, 3. See if you can get to 4-1000 without some crazy head trauma. It used to be crotch trauma. Now it's head trauma. And most of it is kind of like I remember watching, I never saw Dodgeball, but like in the commercial, he's like ripped, torn, or he's just sitting there and he's going, can you dodge a monkey wrench? And he throws like a plumber's wrench and they just whacks the guy right in the forehead.
To be fair, Rip Torn was only in Dodgeball because he got drunk and thought it was his house. That's how he ended up in Dodgeball.
He threw a wrench and hit a guy right in the head, like right in the commercial, like just pow, like, huh?
Well, now it's like you see like chicks getting hit in the face.
Right.
Actually, a big thing with like romantic comedy is like the women are the klutzy lead. It's like, how is this guy gonna love this klutzy girl? I actually pitched this sketch to Human Giant when I was writing on it. Where and they almost made it, but they couldn't figure it out after it left. Where it's like this guy.
They're stupid.
They are, yes. But like this girl is like, it's a normal kind of trailer for a romantic comedy. commenting, the girl is such a klutz. How's this guy going to fall in love with her? But then halfway through the trailer, it turns out that she's so klutzy and falling down is because she has a brain tumor. And then it takes a total left turn and becomes a drama about how's this guy going to love this girl that's dying.
Yeah, I hope the breakdown with all that it was the movie called Fuckable Klutz, because that's the perfect yeah. title for that movie. Fuckable Klutz.
It's just a montage of these chicks walking into the top of Dutch doors, just kapow. Like, if you see, like well, they did it actually the most in probably Dane Cook's Good Luck Chuck.
Yeah.
That was just nothing but head trauma and a little sack trauma.
Now, did that win the special effects Oscar, or was that just Best Picture?
That great scene in it where he had to fuck the fat chick in order to, like, lift the curse somehow. And he, of course, cut to him and the fat chick out to dinner. And she was eating a lobster tail, but she was chewing through the actual shell. Like, she was eating like a killer whale.
Like fatties do.
That's what fatties do. Right. When you take them out on a date, they pick up the whole 3-pound
lobster. They don't understand utensils because they just need to get that fat packed on as quickly as possible.
She would probably be the best eater because of how well she obviously eats.
Yeah, I mean, she's probably
be able to suck the whole lobster through its eye.
Yeah.
Like as a...
It's true.
Through a tail.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that she's sloppy just because she's
not. Not only that, but fat chicks go on a date, they order a dinner salad, and then they eat the Haagen-Dazs that night after the guy doesn't screw them, but they don't go sick at dinner. Like, she's literally crunching.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but I'm in a little bit of a cliffhanger here. Does he end up fucking the fat chick and breaking the curse?
He had to fuck her to try to break the curse.
Oh.
Yeah, and he did fuck her, and it worked, but man, did she eat a lot of dinner. Oh, boy. Oh,
Chuck, how'd you put up with it? For that sweet, fat pussy.
Sweet record scratch. Yeah. That was the Oppenhorn for Good Luck, Chuck.
Yeah, she ate the whole lobster tail.
Wow.
Actual shell and all.
So is Brett Ratner directing Good Luck, Chuck 2 getting luckier? Or is that...
At some point, does somebody raise their hand and just go, what the fuck are we doing?
Like, no, because really, everyone's too afraid to get fired. Everyone's too afraid to get fired.
You know, I've like come to a place where I don't mind those movies anymore because...
Oh, no, I like them. I fucking watch them with my jaw on my lap, yeah. And I can't get enough.
Did you see Yes Man, the last Jim Carrey movie?
Yeah, I saw part of that.
Do you see the scene where there's a scene where there's this old lady in his apartment building that takes out her teeth and gives him a blowjob, and you think they're just going to allude to it, and then they fucking show it happening. And he's at first he's like, you know, thrown off by it, of course, as anyone would be, but then he gets way into it.
I was watching, and maybe one of you guys has seen this, and, you know, this is a guy we don't normally throw under the bus, but what the fuck happened to Will Ferrell's brain? Like, he's going nuts, too. Like, I saw, like, 20 minutes of Step Brothers the other night, and I was like, I don't know what this is. He's 43 years old. John C. Reilly seems like he's 51. They're dancing around the house like, hey, Dad, can we build a bunk bed? Would it be cool if we build a bunk bed? And he's like, yeah, you can build a bunk. All right. This is so boss. Oh, so bitching. Come on. And then they go and they build this really crappy-looking bunk bed. And they're like, this is going to be the most awesome. This is the awesomest.
Well,
the most
spoiler
awesome.
Alert. And now I know there's a bunk bed in it.
I hope you're ready. Then Will gets below and John's going to jump up top. And oh, boy.
What happens, Adam? What happened?
Are you sitting? It's pancakes down, right?
No, so he must die, right? Because you would die if that happened.
He just had a scratch. But I watched like 20 minutes of that movie, and I was like, what the fuck is going on in this movie? Are they retarded adults? Like, what's going on here?
I think they were retarded adults.
You can't call a movie retarded. Actually, I would have probably seen it twice.
Yeah.
Retarded adults.
And you go see retarded adults again?
They're trying to, they're going on a job interviews dressed in tuxedos and she's going, hi, I'm from Human Resources. My name is Pam. And Will's like, Pan? Your name is Pan? No, it's Pam. Pad? What? Your name is Pad? And I'm like,
but
did he write any of this down? What's
no
going
different,
on?
That's no different than Naven Johnson from The Jerk. You know, he was like...
I'm just saying, 97
except that was one of my favorite movies,
two guys
The Jerk.
In their 40s
I enjoyed
playing...
It.
retarded.
You enjoyed Step Brothers?
I enjoyed
what,
Step Brothers.
What was the premise, though? Because I missed the first
Wait, before he says another word, I have to tell you that Matt also likes the Dave Matthews Band a lot. So if you wanted to grade
like
on a curve.
I like the marching song.
It's a good. It's decent.
But how did you see me when she's going to Step Brothers?
They were just both living with their parent. You know,
they're both
Will Ferrell
living
with Mary Steenburgen.
Their parents.
Do you want to hear about it, or do you want to make fun of Dave Matthews?
I want to put on some cargo shorts before you continue.
I want to make fun of Dave Matthews.
Look, just him emptying the septic tank on the sightseeing boats enough to make you a fan of the man. Forget about the music. How about just emptying the bilge pump on a septic tank on a sightseeing tour? I mean, that alone.
An open air.
It's one of the greatest things
I'm
ever.
I'm fine with him as a guy. He was actually funny in that Adam Sandler movie, Don't Mess with the Zohan.
Yeah.
Actually kind of enjoyed him as the redneck racist guy. But then I believe
I didn't
that he,
see it.
He played it really well. You didn't see it?
I didn't. I really didn't see
Your
it.
Your favorite guy
I
ever?
Saw it.
I saw the episode of House where he played the the retarded guy.
Yes, he played the musician.
Yeah.
And then they had to take out part of his brain. He couldn't be a musician anymore.
Right. But he could button his shirt.
Oh, why can't that happen in real life?
I think they took out part of his brain when he did a little Nicky.
You think they did?
Obviously, if anyone who watches that or Mr. Deeds realizes part of the brain was not intact for that. But now...
Yeah, well, so they're both in a state of arrested development, still living with their parents.
But they're not retarded.
They're not retarded, but their parents get married, so then they move in together.
But there's no
still...
magic spell that said you have to act like a 9-year-old retarded kid.
Like,
well, then what's the premise? They're in their 40s. Like, what? At what point they stop running around?
I don't
know. Was it an entire movie of that?
Pretty much. And then at the end, they sort of...
But, like, they're going for a job interview. Are they trying to get the job?
They are sort of trying to get the job.
But they're 40-something year-old adults.
By the way, I don't think I don't appreciate your Larry King-esque intensity about the Step Brothers.
Remember, Adam, that's not Adam McKay.
The movie is worth it, though, when Will Ferrell whacks John C. Reilly on the head and tries to bury him alive.
All right. Well, at least head trauma was
involved.
Someone
got in the hit in the head.
All right, but are you going
to bury his body?
Are you going to defend Land of the Lost?
I have not seen it.
Okay, good.
Did you see it?
Fuck no. It was the worst TV show. Like, this whole, in terms of like my intelligence being insulted, like, or attacked, you can make one of, you know, look, make one of the crappier shows of my childhood into a movie and maybe I'll watch it, but don't make the worst show. As a matter of fact, it's actually the second worst show ever created for Saturday morning. The worst show ever created is one called The Sigmund and the Sea Monster.
That was also Croft. That was also Sid Marty Croft.
Yeah, and that's in development now.
Yeah, they're trying to make it.
And I got to say this. I've done this jag on my podcast, but never yours. When I was doing my pilot for CBS 9 months ago, we were walking along the lot over there at CBS Radford, and some guy we're walking with, Alan Kirschenbaum, said, whose dad is, Joey,
Kirschenbaum.
Sounds good. Not what makes sense. No, a famous like Catskills comedian. I'll think of his name for a second. Anyway, he said, you know who's in there? He said, you know who's in that office? I said, who? He said, Marty Croft is in there. I said, he is? And he said, yes, send Marty Croft. Marty Croft comes to work every day.
I know that lot.
Still has an office here, still hard at work every day. Guy's like 89 years old. He's still here. He said, I could introduce you to him. Would you like me to? Freddie Roman was this guy.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
I said, I can introduce you to him. Would you like me to introduce you to him? And I said, no. And he said, why not? The guy's a legend. And I said, he's a fucking legendary hack. And he said, what do you mean hack? I said, I saw all his work when I was a kid. Sigmund and the Sea Monster and Land of Lost, those are for fucking fried cat abortions.
And those are just a couple. Puffin stuff and Lidsville.
And like Far Out Space Nuts. Just all that stuff sucked. And by the way, it was like, yeah, but he's still on the lot. I said, he's warming over shit from the 70s. Like,
it probably made you mad that he's still working.
Somebody should have taken him out years ago, number one. Number two, I guarantee, here's the thing. Here's how you know the guy's a fucking full-blown hack. And these guys are full-blown hacks. What have you done for me lately?
He was on Comics Unleashed.
Yes. No, beside that, here's the deal. here's what you're working on. Here's what that fucking old hack's working on. He's working on the release of, or the rights to, Sigmund the Sea Monster, the feature. Land of the Lost, the feature. You don't have any new ideas, old man, because you couldn't compete in today's environment. You just have a bunch of your old shitty ideas that you're going to try to repurpose. They sucked in 1971. They're fucking horrible today. I don't know what the fuck Will Ferrell was doing thinking. I'm going to take the shittiest... I don't even know what to call that. It wasn't a sitcom, wasn't a cartoon. Yeah. Shitcom of Adam Carolla's childhood and turn it into a horrible 90-minute piece of shit.
By the way, shit, I am so... I for one am glad that we are bringing that gentleman who is sitting in death's waiting room right now down a peg.
Fuck him! No, listen, those guys are multi-millionaires and they've done nothing but crank out shit. I mean, think about it. But we turned them into fucking icons.
But there was that period of time in the late 60s and early 70s where a lot of art got really bad. Like there was a whole, yes, you know, like Hanna-Barbera is so,
they did a lot
responsible
of shit
for a lot of crappy, yeah, TV, horrible, cheap,
Hair
inexpensive
Bear Bunch and all, yeah, that stuff.
All that
it's
stuff,
all junk, and they should be punished too. And they're all fucking multimillionaires. So fuck them.
Listen, I wasn't born yet, so
yeah, dude.
I don't know.
Actually, I'm an expert. I'm an expert on Hanna-Barbera cartoons.
Oh, really?
Yes. Well, I've watched hundreds of hours with my father, who I think might still be alive.
My father and I used to watch Grape Ape. He was a grape large ape that repeated the phrase Grape Ape. He was a close cousin to McGilla Gorilla, who just had a name that sound... It was more about alliteration, right? McGilla, Gorilla, and Grape.
To be fair, McGilla, like, Gorilla wore suspenders, shorts, and a hat. So...
Yeah, it was good stuff. And then when they couldn't come up with anything, they would just... And they never could. They would just rip off stuff. Like Jabba Jaw was Curly from the Three... Ooh, yeah, Jabba Jaw.
Well, not only that, but they had the Shaggy character in every one of those cartoons. They used the same character sheet.
They ripped off everything that came in the 30s and 40s in vaudeville, and then they spent the rest of their life ripping themselves off.
And that's all they knew how to do.
And then they made wacky races where they put them all in races.
They're horrible hacks, everybody. They're fucking horrible. And if you had Sid or Marty Krofft sit down and write you a spec script for Everyone Loves Raymond today, you'd wipe your ass with it and go, is this guy fucking insane? This is some of the horrible, most schmaltzies. I would love, here's my challenge to those old fucking hacks. Sit down and write me a spec script right now, old man. Go ahead. You're so funny. You're a genius. You're an icon. Write me a modern sitcom. Go ahead. Just, you know what? Pick Two and a Half Men. Just write a script.
It's a Two and a Half Men Are Lost with the Sea Monsters.
All right. Right. So everybody loves Raymond, but the character of Doris Roberts is played by a talking bush.
Right. Yeah, right. That's it. Yeah. A witchy poo guest stars in the Parenthood.
It's almost like a writing seminar. Like, hey man, all you gotta do is just look around your room for the characters. So that character right there is Mr. Curtains, because there's curtains hanging there. And over there's Johnny Floorland.
Right. And he's a doggy Floorland.
Be careful with that though, because Pee-wee's Playhouse did that to, you know.
They did it well though.
They did it well. I'm just saying, these guys are rich beyond our wildest dreams. Do we have to make them icons? Can't we just make them rich? Do we have to worship at their altar or go, you fucks came along at the right time. You struck while the iron was hot. You repeated yourself while everyone was high. You ripped off a whole bunch of comedians from the 40s and the 50s. We were all too young or too stupid, and there was no cable to compete with you guys. You essentially got a monopoly on Saturday morning. You lucked out. Now take your fucking money and get the fuck out of here.
You just want his office. I think this
I
is
want
what
your
this
office.
Is,
yeah.
That's all you want.
This Tuesday, vote yes on Proposition K to revoke Sid and Marty Krofft's
All you haters
fortune
out there, you pull me the one Sid and Marty Krofft project in the last 20 years. Something new, something that's not.
Don't forget about Electra Woman and Dinah Girl.
Yeah.
Two whores driving around in a transparent clam.
One new idea those guys have come up with in 20 years, and I will gladly apologize.
You know, it's
who put all this poop in my underwear? That's perfect for Sid and Marty Krofft, a sports drink.
That's right.
And a character.
You're forgetting completely, too, that they remade Land of the Lost TV show for Saturday morning back when we were kids.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was even worse. It was like Saved by the Bell meets Land of the Lost.
Meets a turd.
Yeah, I mean,
right. So here's my point.
It's a turd meter.
Lock yourself in your office, work on warming over one of your turds from the 70s and repurposing it today. But don't expect me and Alan Kirshenbaum to come up and bow at your altar, you old hack.
Where's Alan with my weekly bow? Where is he?
And by the way, you're just using up space for someone who might possess some talent.
Well, you know, Adam, we're coming to the end of the podcast, and I have to say...
I really want to make myself clear.
I'm not sure you have yet, though. I think my problem is... I just wish you would get off the fence about it, you know? Like, if you really feel a certain way, just, you just need to express it.
It depends which way the wind's blowing. My feelings about Sigmund and the Sea Monster. And Will Ferrell, I hope he's not fucking retarded enough to star in that piece of shit. And so, I know, we all respect the guy. The guy's really funny. The guy's really talented. Why would he do these shitty movies?
Well, because
he wanted another house.
Getting paid.
He might want another five houses.
Okay.
Yeah. So are you? You know, I was going to talk about. I want to talk about your comedy background. But I guess I don't have to because everyone knows it already.
Yeah, we're good.
You're good. What, do you have any shows coming up?
Yeah, we're coming up. Let's see. When's this air?
This will go up tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow.
I mean, today. It's live.
Today. I mean, live.
Call
yeah.
in now to live ask your questions.
We're going to be at the El Portal Theater, which everyone calls the El Portal Theater. But it's North Hollywood, NoHo District.
Flankersham, right?
Yeah, I used to go there when I was a kid. We're doing two shows. Jimmy Kimmel's going to be there. Dr. Drew's going to be there. Bill Simmons, the sports guy, does himself.
Dr. Drew's going to be there working on his lounge act.
Yeah.
Singing some singing some tunes.
Jazzy tunes about sexual.
Sitting on the piano.
Junkie denied.
He rolls up his sleeve and undoes his bow tie and does a fabulous Baker Boys number that is to
die for. My favorite part is when he just pushes his tuxedo flaps back.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the best part of Drew's act is when the guy comes out and removes his cape.
Yep.
That's the best part of it.
And then he's got all of his rings.
And he's too tired to go on, and the guy brings out the American flag.
Drapes it over him, and he does just a couple, like... karate moves in between to punctuate some of his opera.
And then he plays on the backs of 88 naked men, one for each key.
Right.
And because he's a doctor, he says, I now diagnose these balls delicious. And then he plays. And there is not a dry eye in the house.
It is one of the time he's done.
Dr. Drew's stage show is... A fucking you don't miss. You're an asshole if you miss it.
Yeah, just Dr. Drewing it right. I think
he's Dr. Drewing it right.
He'll be there. That's what I have to say.
I also
we sold out the first show, but there's tickets to the second show and
AdamCarolla.com.
There's booze and all that. Yeah, AdamCarolla.com.
Well, Adam, thank you so much for having us over to your house.
Sure,
I'm glad we stayed friends all these years because it's just been fun to kind of watch where everything went. You know, from hoofing it into the Kevin and Bean show at fucking 5 o'clock in the morning and being exhausted and ultimately insulted by Kevin and Bean a lot. Maybe that was just the experience I had.
Yeah.
But in any case, I also want to say that Jonah and I will be performing Wednesday through Saturday at the Punchline in San Francisco. If you're in the Bay Area, make sure and come by. You can get details on that at nerdist.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Jonah Ray, at Adam Carolla, at Matt Myra, at Chris Hardwick. I forgot how Twitter works. At Nerdist. And then also one last announcement. April 5th, we're going to start doing Nerdist Live at Largo, which is basically a live version of the podcast, but with performances. Probably a little bit longer than an hour. And our first guest so far is Mr. Adam Savage of the Mythbusters.
I hope he busts a whole bunch of myths.
He's going to bust some myths. He's going to come in with some preconceived
notions.
I want
him to say they're plausible.
I want to have him bust the Dave Matthews myth.
What?
I'm sorry. We're going to prove it to you mathematically. Matt. We're going to prove it to you mathematically.
If you like that show, you're going to love Hyman Busters, which comes on.
That's part of the Bang Bus network.
Also, yeah, the actor in that also called Matt Savage.
Yeah, right. So there you go. All right, well, thanks again for listening to the Nerdist Podcast. I'm Chris Hardwick. The end.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.
For more than two centuries, the White House has been the stage for some of the most dramatic scenes in American history. Inspired by the hit podcast American History Tellers, Wondery and William Morrow present the new book, The Hidden History of the White House. Each chapter will bring you inside the fierce power struggles, the world-altering decisions, and shocking scandals that have shaped our nation. You'll be there when the very foundations of the White House are laid in 1792, and you'll watch as the British burn it down in 1814. Then you'll hear the intimate conversations between FDR and Winston Churchill as they make plans to defeat Nazi forces in 1941. And you'll be in the Situation Room when President Barack Obama approves the raid to bring down the most infamous terrorist in American history. pre-order The Hidden History of the White House now in hardcover or digital editions wherever you get your books.